सहना भवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सह वीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। सदाशिवसमारम्भां शङ्कराचार्यमध्यमाम् अस्मदाचार्यपर्यन्तां वन्दे गुरुपरम्परां श्रुतिस्मृतिपुराणानाम् आलयं करुणालयं नमामि भगवत्पाद शङ्करं लोकशङ्करं शङ्करं शङ्कराचार्यं केशवं बादरायणम् सूत्रभाष्यकृतौ वन्दे भगवन्तौ पुनः पुनः श्रीचिन्मययतीशस्य गुरुं वन्दे तपोवनं तं हिमवद्विभूतिं वै ज्ञानवैराग्यरूपिणं समस्तजनकल्याणे निरतं करुणामयम् नमामि चिन्मयं देवं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं सद्गुरुं ब्रह्मविद्वरं कर्पूरगौरं करुणावतारं संसारसारं भुजगेन्द्रहारं सदा वसन्तं हृदयारविन्दे भवं भवानी सहितं नमामि भवं भवानी सहितं नमामि। विल चैंट द टेंथ वन
ओ टेंथ वन
फर्स्ट। या
शंभु अस्तु
शंभो शंभो महेश करुणामय
पाने गौरीपते पशुपति पशुपाशनाशिन काशीपते करुणया जगदेत एकः त्वं हंसि पासि विदधासि महेश्वरोऽसि
त्वं हंसि पासि विदधासि
पासि
महेश्वरोऽसि।
महेश्वरोऽसि
सो लास्ट वीक वी हैड डन हाफ द टेंथ लोका। सो शंभो मीन्स द वन हु इज ऑस्पिशियस। महेश इज द लॉर्ड ऑफ ऑल लॉर्ड्स। करुणामय वेरी कंपैशनेट नॉट अ बॉस। एंड शूलपाणे द विद द त्रिशूल। And we had seen how Trishul removes all the sorrows of the body, mind, intellect, sattva, rajas, tamas. Then Gauripate, he is always accompanied by Parvati ji and Pashupate. Pashupate means protector of all beings, not only animals. And Pashupashanashin, and all our bondages that we suffer, Bhagwan Shiva destroys. So today we will talk about Kashipate. Kashi is a very important topic to cover. Kashipate means the Lord of Kashi. Karunaya is compassionate. Jagat Edad Eka. He is the one alone in this universe. And Tvam Hamsi, you destroy, you protect, Vidadpasi, Vidadhasi, you create and sustain. And Maheshwarosi, you are the Lord of all lords. So Kashi, now what is the significance of Kashi? When we chant Lord Shiva's name, we always say Om Shri Kashi Vishwanath, Kashi Vishwanath Pashine Namaha, Kashi Vishwanath Swamine Namaha, who is the Lord of Kashi, and he is Vishwanath. So what is Kashi, which is also said as Varanasi, which is on the bank of Ganga? It is the Avimukta Kshetra. Avimukta means Bhagwan Shiva never leaves that. He is always in Kashi, Avimukta. And what does he do there? So it is said that any person who is dying, Bhagwan Shiva whispers the Ram mantra in his ear. Of course, he's not visible. Yeah, he is not visible, but he whispers and gives them moksha. So they say if you die in Kashi, you get moksha, you get liberation. So many people live in Kashi thinking, okay, when I die, I will get moksha. And then suddenly they suffer from some illness and they say, well, there are no good doctors in Kashi, the best ones are in Delhi. So he's driving with his family to Delhi, and on the way in Mirzapur, he dies. So he's all the living in Kashi. The point is that Kashi is the, he's Bhagwan Shiva is Karunaya. It is said he's very compassionate. Why? Because he gives Sadgati. People who live in Kashi, who follow these teachings, get the right guidance. So it is a very holy place. You know, it is worshipped in all our scriptures. They say that, Kashi no Maran, and what is that? Surat no Jaman. So there is no equal to that. So that is the significance of Kashi. Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji has written five beautiful shlokas on Kashi. It's called Kashi Panchakam. And I'll read one of the shloka and will then translate. So Shankaracharya ji says, Kashyam hi kashate Kashi, Kashi sarva prakashika, sakashi vidita yena tena prapta hi kashika. So Kashyam hi kashate Kashi. So Kashi is the Kashi represents knowledge, represents the light of wisdom. So that is one, Kashyam. So in Kashi, there is Kashyam, there is wisdom, knowledge. Then Kashi Sarva Prakashika, Kashi illumines everything. Sakashi Vidita Yena, one who knows Kashi, Tena Praptahi Kashika, he obtains Kashi. So he said, what is this Kashi, Kashi, Kashi all the time? Can you explain it? So let us explain. Kashyam hi kashate Kashi. Kashi comes from the root kasha in Sanskrit. And kasha means light. And in all languages in India, prakasha means light. Everybody knows prakasha. So kasha is light. So Kashi means there where this knowledge shines.
Nice.
And Kashi shines, it shines in Kashi means this knowledge, this brilliance, this chetana, this consciousness shines in Kashi. Means Kashi is the abode of knowledge, abode of wisdom, abode of illumination. Then it is said, Kashi Sarva Prakashika, and this Kashi is the Chit Swaroop. You know, Chiti, they say Chit Swaroop. And Chitta Sarup illumines everybody, everything, Sat, Chit, Anand. So Chit, Anand, Chit illumines all the living, non-being, everybody. So Kashi is worshipped as the one that is the inner illuminator. And Sa Kashi Vidita Yena, that Kashi which is known by anybody. How is it known? By doing Atma Vichara. When you contemplate on who I really am, then that person realizes Kashi is the inner illuminator of all of us. And such a person who has understood that, who has understood this Chit is the inner illuminator, he has known Kashika. He really has known Kashi. So Kashi is the Shuddha Chaitanya. Now, Kashi may be okay there in India. But how does it apply to me here? So they say that my intellect is closest to the Satchitanand. You know, the Om, the consciousness within, the closest to that is intellect. Intellect is insentient. It is not alive. It is only by the presence of this light of consciousness that the intellect shines. So my intellect is shining because of this consciousness within, because of Lord within. Otherwise, I would be an inert piece of, body that would have to be carried to the crematorium. So all my sentiency comes from the Kashi, which is the inner light of consciousness. Without that, I am nothing. So I'm walking, talking, eating, drinking because of that. And so that is Atma Vichara, inquiring, who am I really? So they say my true nature is Sat Chit Anand, and that Chaitanya Swarup is me. It's not somebody outside, not somebody in Kashi, or not somewhere in heaven or in Vaikuntha or anywhere. It is within me as consciousness. So one who understands that my intellect is shining only because of this presence of this light of consciousness, then only he knows Kashi, what is the true meaning of this Chaitanya, and then only mukti is possible. Mukti is only possible when I know who am I. All these other things, yes, we can do puja, we can do bhakti, we can do karma yoga and all that, but ultimately it is the knowledge of who am I that gives us liberation. When I understand I am that Sat Chit Anand and not this body, mind, intellect, then nothing that affects this body, mind, and intellect affects me. And such a person goes beyond this world, beyond all the bondages of this world. So one is the Divya Dham, Kashi, where Shiva Parvati ji live, where Ganga ji moves, and one is that within me as I. So in both places, you can use Kashi. Kashi is not only there, but also within me. And then it's the next line is Tvam Ekam Jagat Etad Eka. You are one alone without a second. That is our Advaita principle, that God alone is consciousness, alone is nothing in this world is real or existing. It is a projection. So Tvam Etad Ekam, you are one without a second. And then Tvam Hamsi, so you are the destroyer. So what does it mean, destroyer? Means when something's function is over, then it gets destroyed. Like there is a, like a pandal or a like a stand, where a speaker is talking and some discussion is going on, and the workmen are waiting on the side. The moment the program is over, the last speaker immediately gets off. Immediately they start dismantling because now they have to take it to another place. So same way Bhagwan, when he finds this world is no longer useful, functional, he folds it all up and then gets it ready for the next kalpa. So that is why he says you are the destroyer. The destroyer means where you get it ready for the next creation. And Pasi means you only protect it also. You don't only destroy, but while the universe is ongoing, you are the protector. And Vidadhasi means you are the creator and the support. So you create this universe, you support this universe, you protect the universe, and then at the time of Pralay, you dismantle it. And you do it by yourself, ekam. You don't need anybody's help. Tulsidas ji says in Ramayana, Sangha Sahayena Duja. You don't need anybody's help. You are the single one. And so then the devotee says, oh, okay, oh, Lord Shiva, if you alone can create the world, sustain the world, and destroy it, then how about my little sorrow? Can you not destroy that? That should be very easy for you. If you can destroy the whole universe, who am I? So you please destroy my sorrows. So that is how this, and he is the Maheshwar. We have covered that many times. He is the Supreme Lord of all lords, of all devas. And that is the shloka number 10. Now I will do the last one, shloka number 11. Tvato jagat bhavati deva bhava smarare त्वय्येव तिष्ठति जगन्मृडविश्वनाथ त्वय्येव गच्छति लयं जगदेतदीश लिंगात्मकं
हर
हरचराचर विश्वरूपिन् लिंगात्मकं हर चराचर विश्वरूपिन्. दिस इज द इवन दो द लास्ट इट्स ब्यूटिफुल ब्यूटिफुल श्लोका. It has lot of meaning, lot of meaning. So I think we have enough time. So Tvato Jagat Bhavati, the world emerges from you. Now this we will cover in later on. Then he says, Deva, you are the Deva, you are the illuminator. Deva comes from the word div, illumination. So you are the illuminator. You know, that means you are Chit. And then bhava, bhava means being. So you are existence. So anything that is, you are that.
Smarare.
And smarare, smarare means you destroy desires. Because he remembered he destroyed Kamadeva. So Kamadeva represents our desires, not only sensual, but all desires. So you destroy them. Tvayeva tishthati, in you alone the world resides. Jagan mrida, mrida means ananda rupa. So jagan mrida means the joy of this world, and you are Vishwanatha. You are the lord of this world. Tvayeva gachati layam, in you alone this world merges back. So you create, you sustain, and then the world merges back in you. Jagat etad isha, you are the one Lord. And then lingatmakam, linga has a lot of meaning in Sanskrit, so we'll cover that. That will be, it's a very important topic, why Shiva linga is revered. Hara means you take away. Chara achara, the sorrows of the, chara means moving and unmoving. So everything that is moving and unmoving, Vishwarupin, you are that. So Bhagwan is not only the living beings, but also the rocks, the stones, the forests, the mountains, rivers, everything you are. So let us spend a little time on talking about it. So we have covered Char Achara Vishwa, the whole world which is moving and unmoving. You are the Lord of that. And when they say Deva, Deva means illuminer, illumination, that is chit. Bhava is existence or being, that is sat. And jagan mrida, the ananda of this universe, you are the lord of that. So you are sat, chit, and anand. Anand means not only the joy or bliss, but the infinite. You are the infinite bliss, the infinite joy. All three you are. You are the Sat Chit Anand Rupa. And then it in the last line it is said, Hara, you remove all our bondages. Hara means takes away all our bondages. Where do bondages come? Come from avidya. I have ignorance. Avidya leads to kama, desire, and then kama leads to karma. So with ignorance, I have desires. I want this, that to complete myself. Then I do actions which create more bondage and create more vasanas. So this cycle of, because of vasana, avidya, I do, you know, karma, and then I go bound back. And so you are the one who can cut this bondage. Another meaning of bondage is, there are three kinds of bondages. Bhagwan Krishna in the 14th chapter, he says there is tamasic, rajasic, and sattvic. So tamasic bondage is like people who do criminal acts, you know, cheat, lies, you know, steal and all, and murder and kill. So that is tamasic bondage, and that creates bondage where they keep on doing wrong actions. Then what is rajasic bondage? Rajasic bondage is, oh, I want to be powerful. I want to be successful, even if I cheat others or step on others' head or, you know, stab in the back. It doesn't matter. I must win. So all this, what they do in politics, in the world, and all that is rajasic bondage. Now, what is sattvic bondage? We thought, all right, sattva is good, isn't it? Shouldn't we be in sattva? But Bhagwan says in the Bhagavad Gita that Sat is the nature of illumination and knowledge, but that can also bind. How? Sukha Sangena Badnati Jnana Sangena Cha Anagha. So he says that sattvic bondage can bind you by Sukha and by Jnana. We thought, oh, Sukha and Jnana is good. How can it bind? Sukha means I get used to everything being going well in my life. Everything should go well. And I want all good things to happen. And I'm not ready to accept that good and bad are two sides of the same coin. You know, sometimes health, ill health, success, failure. So sattvic bondage is always wanting good things to happen. And when good things don't happen, then I get depressed and start crying. And how can knowledge bind? By arrogance, that I alone know it, I am the smartest, I am the best. So sattva can bind by knowledge and by sukha. So we can take a few examples, like a mother, you know, a child is newborn and he clings on to the mother, and you know, he you know, and mother says, you know, even when he grows up, he just clings on to the mother, and mother said, my child is only likes to be with me, doesn't go to anybody else, and he starts crying. So she gets very proud of that, that my child is, you know, only loving me. And then when she feeds, he says, only when I feed, he eats. When others feed, he does not eat. So she gets proud of that, you know, that my child is so dependent on me. But slowly the child grows up and starts running around, and he's playing with his friends, and mother calls him and he doesn't come. You know, he doesn't even listen. He And then mother gets so hurt. You know, look at me now. I did all this for him. I carried him and all that, fed him. And now he's choosing his friends over me. So immediately that sorrow comes. So that is sattvic bondage. You have loved the child, that is good, but then or when he goes to college, you move your apartment and sell your house and take an apartment near his or her college, so that, oh, I can be, you know, the child has moved away from you, but the mother moves with her, so that is sattvic bondage. Then same thing, husband, wife. In the beginning, you know, they are very attached, always together, and then slowly, husband has his work, wife has her work. So then people say, array, he used to call me every day and talk to me for half an hour. Now he doesn't have time. You know, all the, so that is sattvic bondage. Then the third beautiful example is social. See, we start doing social work. You know, people do a lot of things, that some people build orphanages, or they do like, okay, preserve animals, you know, Society for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, SCPA, you know, and then, or some people work for plants, environment, for the mountains, the rivers to be clean. So they take up the social cause. That's very good. You know, nothing wrong with that. But then they say, oh, tomorrow we have a rally, you know, where we are going to go to these coal plants, which are polluting the atmosphere, and we want to rally, or we have a conference, we want you to attend, and you say, no, I'm busy. Then they get angry with you. Are, what is this? It's a good cause. I'm calling you. Yeah, it may be a good cause for you, but I may or may not believe in it, or I may or may not have time. You know, it's a good thing. So then we get so attached to the cause that we get angry with people who do not share our, you know, our beliefs. Like one person said, I believe in peace, and if you don't believe in peace, I will kill you. So that is the example where you are attached to things. Then another example is, it's not only social, it could be national organization, religious, spiritual, even people get attached, where they say only I alone can do it. Nobody else can do it. So they don't delegate the work. And anybody else tries to do, they you know, they won't let him do it. They fight with them. So that is, then that means you are also attached to that post. When it's time, somebody better comes, you know, you should be able to give it away. And what we lose the discrimination in this, that what is the process of service? Why are we doing service? To purify the mind, which can be then ready for the highest knowledge. So the main purpose of service is that I may grow spiritually, my mind may become pure by giving, by sharing. So it is for my benefit, and Bhagwan has placed me here. So I should be grateful that Bhagwan has given me the opportunity to serve and to help others. So that is the, and also this will help me to go beyond all these bondages of tamasic, rajasic, and sattvic, and Lord can remove that. So he says, you are the one who removes all these sorrows. Hara. Then he says, Jagan Mrida Vishwanath, you are the Lord of the universe, and all bliss, joy comes from you. So this one man started complaining to God. He says, God, you say you are everywhere and you are in everything. And why is there so much suffering? And why are people dying? And why is there so much misery and poverty? And what are you doing? So Bhagwan says, I already did my job. He said, what did you do? Bhagwan says, I made you. I created you. So what are you doing? Just sitting there complaining, criticizing? No. If you find something is wrong, get up and fix it if you can. So I put you there so that whatever things you are unhappy about, try to fix them and do whatever is within your capacity. You don't have to, change the whole America or change the whole California. But in Bakersfield or in my community, how I can help others, how I can. So Bhagwan says, I have placed you there. So that way, by doing your duty and playing your part, you will purify your mind and then come closer to me. So don't, some people just criticize, oh, the world has this problem, that problem, this and that. But they don't do anything to fix it. They won't give a penny for donation. They won't go out and work. So wherever you can work, you work. And also, when you are playing your role, see, each one of us has been assigned a role as a father, mother, husband, wife, child, son, daughter, community worker or doctor, engineer, lawyer. So whatever work has been assigned to us by Bhagwan, play that role to the best of your ability. Do not try to fix others' problem, that, oh, you are not doing your duty. No, you do your duty. It's like you're in a play and, on the stage, and you are with another actor, and the other actor misses one line. You don't stop the play and say, oh, you missed a line, go back and say that line. Then the whole audience will know that this actor made a mistake. So what you do, you smartly ignore that he has missed the line and proceed with the play. That is how good actors do. On the stage, in a movie, you can go back and shoot again, but in a stage, you can't. So same way in this world, whatever job we have been assigned to do, do it. And if somebody else doesn't do the job, instead of complaining, criticizing, you just keep on doing your, if you can correct that person or help him quietly, you do it. Otherwise, just move on. So that is the idea that this Vishwanatha, and we have to adjust that. So now there are two things in shloka number 10 and 11. In 10, he said, Tvam Hamsi Pasi Vidadasi Maheshwarosi. So you are the creator, sustainer, supporter, and destroyer. Okay, you said that. But in 11th, he says, from you, Jagat Bhavati, the world comes from you. Tvayeva Tishtati, stays in you. Tvayeva Gachati, Layam, goes into Laya. So, why is the same idea being repeated? So, it's not the same idea, it is different. In the first one, Bhagwan is the doer. He creates, he sustains, and he destroys when it is no longer needed. In the second one, the world emerges from Bhagwan, but is still in Bhagwan and merges back into Bhagwan. So why two? In the first one, he is the Nimit Karana, and in the second one, he is the Upadana Karana. Nimit Karana means the efficient cause. Upadana Karana means the material cause. So to give an example, like a pot maker, it's a famous example, makes a pot. Now he's the efficient cause, but he's not the material cause. The material cause of the pot is mud. So using mud, he creates a pot. So he is the efficient cause, and the mud is the material cause. So when it is said that you create, sustain, and destroy, then he's like the pot maker who creates, sustains, and if the pot is not good, didn't turn out good, he destroys. But when the world comes from him, he is in the world and merges back, then he's the upadana karana, he's the material cause. So he's not only the pot maker, but he's also the clay. In the case of a pot maker, once he makes the pot gets sold, it goes 1,000 miles away, it ships to some other city. Pot maker doesn't go with the clay, it doesn't go with the pot. He just finishes his job, and the pot maker may die, but the pot will still keep on living. But in the case of Bhagwan, he doesn't leave the world. And we always think God is somewhere. God is somewhere, Somewhere where? Oh, he's in some palace. So then who made the palace? Bhagwan make it or somebody else make it? So it is the example they give is like I buy cloth. In India, you go to a tailor and you tell him, I want to make a suit, pants and jacket and all. So who is superior, the one who bought the cloth or the tailor? The one who bought the cloth, because he bought the material, he's paying the tailor. So here, God is both. He is the material cause and also he's the efficient cause. He is in the pot as the material cause of the pot, as the mud, and he is also the creator of the mud, sustainer and destroyer. So all you are, so that's why the same example is being used twice. And that is this beautiful example of why he's not only in the world, but he's also beyond the world. He's not only in these 14 worlds, but he's way beyond, extends way beyond everything. And now we come to the last one,
Linga.
Lingatmakam. It is Linga is very, very important because the Shiva Linga is always connected with Bhagwan Shiva. So what are the different meanings of Linga in Sanskrit? It is so beautiful. One is it is the gender. In Sanskrit they say Pullinga and Strilinga. So Pullinga is masculine, Strilinga is feminine. So that is one that distinguishes genders. Then Linga also means like when there is a newborn, and then you see the child, and how do you know it is a boy or a girl? So that organ that you are looking at is also called Linga. So that is also Linga, which tells us the sex of the
Gender.
baby. Then Lingatmakam means it's adjective of Jagat. So why do we say Lingatmakam Jagat? Because the Jagat is seen and the God is unseen. We see the world, we don't see God. But if there is a world, there has to be God. There has to be a
Dependent on
creator.
this.
World cannot come by itself. Or some of our children will tell you, oh no, the world came by itself. It's a big bang. Oh, where did the energy come from? Big bang. Oh, it just came itself. And now it's all
It
multiplying
cannot come
by,
from nothing.
cannot come, something cannot come from nothing. They say, oh, when science will eventually find out what is the source of Big Bang. So they don't admit there is God and they say science will find it. So what is through the seen, you go to the unseen. Through the known, you go to the
Unknown.
unknown. And this creator is omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. So he's all pervading, he's everywhere, and he's all
Can you say
knowing.
indicator? indicated.
Yeah, so indicator will take you to the indicated, like your finger pointing to the moon is not the moon, but the finger indicates the moon. Then linga also means formless, because the Shivalinga in when we see it in front of Lord Shiva, Shivalinga has no form, has no hands, feet, mouth, face, body. It is just a form. So it represents the formless. So the Nirgun Nirakar. So the Shivalinga represents the, so the Bhagwan Shiva, when you see his form with the three eyes and the Gangaji and the snakes and all, that is the Sagun Sakar. And then Nirgun Nirakar is the Linga. So Bhagwan is not only Sagun Sakar, not only has qualities and form, but is also formless. Then it is said that Linga, when you inquire what is Linga, Linga also means it is the subtle body. The mind and intellect is also called Linga Sharir. There is, you know, the gross body, then the Sukshma, Sharir, Sukshma Sharir, or the subtle body is the mind and intellect. Now, why is mind and intellect important? Because to inquire into the nature of God, you need your mind and intellect. Without mind and intellect, you will not be able to see the world, or even to know the world, and obviously not able to know God. So even though this knowledge is beyond the mind and intellect, you need the mind and intellect to study the scriptures, to understand this Vedasara, Shiva Stotram, or all of the Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads. And then that knowledge takes you beyond the body, mind, intellect, beyond the OET. So Linga is necessary. Linga Sharir also is important, because at the time of death, when a person is dead, what leaves? See, the gross body is there. What leaves is the subtle body, the mind and intellect accompanied by vasanas. So the Linga Sharir, the subtle body, leaves at the time of death. So Linga Sharir means the subtle body. So it is not only useful in grammar, but also in logic. So to know Linga, you need to have logic. So there is one phrase in Sanskrit called Nitya Sahacharya. In English, it is called invariable concomitants. Say, we didn't understand either one of those two. Can you explain? So what it means is that Nitya Sahacharya, when two things are always together, then you connect them. That by seeing one, you see the other. So the famous example they give in our Vedanta, in our Upanishads, is when you see smoke on the mountain. Now the mountain is far away and you are seeing smoke. You cannot see the top of the mountain. But you know that where there is smoke, there is fire. So Linga, the smoke, is an indicator of fire. So, like the shadow you see, that again is an indicator. So that world which indicates, the presence of the world indicates God, so that is Linga. So Linga is that which, when two things are together, you always know that where there is smoke, there is fire. You know, there's a famous saying in English. Linga also means Layanath. Layanath means that where everything becomes laya, merges, and goes to nothingness is Linga. So I don't know, 10, 11 meanings of Linga we had.
Sanskrit is beautiful.
Sanskrit is beautiful because it has so much, you know, one word has so much variety. And actually, there is a Linga Purana. There is not only a Shiv Puran, but there is a Linga Purana where all these are explained in detail. And Lord Shiva, his glories are mentioned in all. So this is basically our talk for today, where we see that the Lord is the creator, sustainer, destroyer. He is the material cause and the efficient cause. We saw the glory of Kashi, where it is the Nagari where everybody gets moksha and the world emerges from you, is sustained in you, and merges back into you. And Jagat Etad Isha, and you are the one. And then we saw the glory of the word Linga and how Bhagwan is there in Chara and Achara, in moving and unmoving. And that is, oh yeah, there is one point about Bhagwan I forgot to mention where his name is mentioned. So it says that Bhagwan Shiva, his name represents Gangaji. Represents Gangaji because it is pure. So Gangaji, when his name represents Gangaji, the bhasma he applies on this body represents Yamunaji. So Ganga and Yamuna and the Rudraksha, the Rudraksha mala that he wears represents Saraswati. So Ganga, Yamuna, Saraswati, all three are in him. And Rudra Aksha. Aksha means eyes. Rudra, so Rudra, the Lord,
Third.
his eyes are Rudraksha. It is said when Bhagwan cried, then the tears that came, when
Celsius.
Satiji, gave up her body, then that tears that came became Rudraksha tree, became the Rudraksha beads. And that's why Rudraksha is very holy. When you wear that, not only it helps you spiritually, but can remove a lot of illnesses. So Rudra can remove Roga. And also they say when you're wearing Rudraksha, don't think it is just a mala. It is Shiva's eyes. That means he's watching you. So behave. So when you wear Rudraksha, you have to be very careful. So beautiful, this 9-11 shlokas by Shankaracharya ji. And I'd like to express my sincere gratitude to Lord Shiva for blessing us with this wisdom, to Bhagwan Shankaracharya ji for composing these 11 verses, to Pooja Gurudev Swami Chinmayananda, who made it this knowledge available to us, and Pooja Guruji Swami Tejomayananda ji,
Who explained
who explained
it?
this. So it is the grace of all these lords. So we all of us have to be grateful. And I also have to be thankful to you that because of your coming every week, I was able to study and share this knowledge. So that is the grace of all of them, from Lord Shiva, Shankaracharya ji,
Yes.
Gurudev, Guruji, and all of you. Because of that, we have this knowledge. And there is so much to think and read. So one should keep constantly reading and thinking. You can read about this shloka, you can read commentaries on internet, or you can listen on First Power. And all we should pray that may Lord be pleased with us, Prasanna Bhava, may Lord be pleased with us that we spent our time to study this knowledge and to share it. And so you see the Lord inside as Sachidananda in my heart and outside as Mrida Jagat, as this entire
Jagat.
world. So God is within me and God is this whole universe. So that is, and may devotion and knowledge fill our heart. So may we constantly pursue this path, the spiritual path which we have taken, all of us. Do not give up, keep pursuing it. Till the final abidance in that can chant. We can chant the first shloka and then if anybody has any questions or comments.
शूलं
नाम
पतिं
पतिं पापनाशं
पापनाशं
परेशं
परेशं गजेन्द्रस्य
गजेन्द्रस्य कृत्तिं
कृत्तिं वसानं
वसानं
वरेण्यं
जटाजूटमध्ये
स्फुरत् पाङ्गवारिं
स्फुरपाङ्गवारिं महादेवमेकं स्मरामि
सरारिं
महादेवमेकं स्मरामि स्मरारिं. Thank you very much. We have a few minutes.
You want to do the Shiva
Shiv
Shiva
bhajan, okay.
Japate.
We can
Just
do
remember Lord
Lord.
Shiva.
Okay. Shiva
Shiva Shiva
Shiva
Japate
Japate
Lina
Lina Mana
Mana
Ho.
Ho.
शिव शिव जपते लीन मन हो। शिव के स्वरूप में, शिव के ही प्रेम में, शिव के स्वरूप में, शिव के ही प्रेम में, शिव शिव जपते लीन मन हो। शिव शिव जपते लीन मन हो, लीन मन हो, लीन मन हो। ओम श्री काशी विश्वनाथ स्वामिने नमः। We offer our prostrations to Bhagwan. If anybody has any questions on that, whatever we covered today or anything else.
The next book will be the
Yeah, Lata.
Thank you for doing this very important. Enjoyed very much so and learned quite a bit there.
Thank you.
Is linga form, because we are used to seeing that form in Shiva temples, is that the only form that is valid as a Shiva's form, or
Formless,
it
yeah.
can be any other? Your Jyotirlingas that are Swayambhu, not all of them are the same
The
shape.
same shape, yeah.
Right. Yeah, but they represent Lord Shiva, but also every all gods are have the, formless aspect. Even
Right.
Vishnu Narayana is, they said he's the sustainer, supporter, all this. So for a Vishnu Bhakta, it would be Narayana. For a Shiva Bhakta, it would be Lord Shiva, like that. Even Krishna showed us his Virat Swarup, in the Bhagavad Gita, his cosmic form. But Shivaling represents Lord Shiva. And like Shaligram for Bhagwan Vishnu, it is Shaligram.
Yeah.
The stone, Shaligram stone represents the formless aspect and the eternal that, never perishes, kind of. So, yeah, so that's how.
Okay, thank you.
All these forms came later on. First, though, it was all formless. I
Formless.
think as the yugas or the mind became more and more grosser, that it needed form to see the idea.
Right.
Yes. Or it was just people used to do. Actually, they started with sun, moon, like these nature.
Right.
They were doing sun puja, but later on these forms came. Puranas are all because that's how they did.
Right. That's why Ved Vyas ji wrote, Srimad Bhagavatam, because Narad ji told him that he was not happy. He said, "You have composed all these literature, Vedas, Mahabharata, all that, but now compose a bhakti text because that is lacking." And after he did Srimad Bhagavatam, which is Vishnu's, avatars and then Bhagwan Krishna's life, then he was, satisfied, content. So knowledge and bhakti both are necessary.
So one other question. The glory of Kashi as a kshetram has been there in our Puranas
Yes.
and from long, but you can see this composition that admires Kashi as a kshetra also, but
Right.
it has been there from the beginning, huh?
Absolutely right.
Okay.
Yeah, and Lord Shiva always lives there. And he Vimukta, he never leaves Kashi. Of course, he's everywhere, but there he's particularly happy when he's there. And that's what I said, when somebody's dying, he will whisper Ram mantra in his ear and give him moksha. Moksha Nagari, they
Mukti
say.
Rama Japata Mukti
Ma,
Sana
right.
Prema Mood
If you desire
Samasya
too much
Kaho.
of surti food, then you will end up in Kashi, or if you end up at Kashi and then you come back as eating surti food. I don't understand.
Right. Which one is more important?
Yeah, which one came first?
Food is important or moksha? Yeah.
Thank you.
Ambika, you have a question? Yeah.
Yeah, you were talking about bondage, and you said that even at every stage, like there is rajasic bondage, there is tamasic, and also sattvic. At that stage also you have bondage. And like if whatever marg you are following, whether it's bhakti or gnana, knowledge or dhyana, there is bondage, right? So going back to that, on Monday, last Monday, when we had that study group discussion, Gurudev had said that the more superior than everything is karma phala tyagam. So at every stage, that is what is more important, right? Like to not think about the fruits of action, even at that meditative stage. If you're still thinking of, oh, I'm going to be realized, and I can tell all my friends, I can tell all my friends I meditated and I'm realized. That also, I mean, that doesn't work, right? So at every stage, you go back to that tyagam, the karma phala tyagam, right? That's so it. So that is how you get rid of your bondage and everything.
Exactly.
Okay.
I
Because
think that's it.
Shreyo hi gyan abhyasat gyanat dhyanam visheshyate. So better than practice is gyanam. Better than gyanam is dhyanam, meditation. And then ultimately even giving up the results of that because it gives you peace of mind. And when your mind is peaceful, then only the highest knowledge. Ultimately, you have to go beyond sattva also. Do not hold on to sattva. That does not mean that we should stop doing sattvic actions. Sattvic action will purify your mind
Purify.
and take it beyond sattva. That is the goal of, to be attached to sattva is example like a lady does a puja every morning, and for one morning her child is very sick, has a high fever, and she has to take care. And then whole day she's blaming herself. Oh, I am a sinner.
I should have
I
done
should have done my
instead.
puja. No, that is called sattvic bondage. That you are attached so much to puja that. So the point is that not that every occasion you can skip puja. People for every small reason they skip. No, but if you have decided, do it. But if for some unforeseen situation you can't, then do not be attached or do not blame yourself. That is sattvic bondage, where you are attached to the sattvic karma. That's what Bhagwan says that.
I think it's like a golden chain. They say it is a chain, but it's a golden chain.
Golden chain, silver chain, or a copper chain, sattvic
It's still a
rajasic.
chain.
It is still a chain. If you attach to it and when then you don't care for anybody else. Like even in any spiritual like a puja and all, I only can do it. So when you start doing that I alone, and then and you forget the
You
what is the
begin to
purpose
say.
of sadhana. Purpose of sadhana is to take you beyond sadhana. Anybody else? Mike?
When I see this linga, Shivlinga, that just represents Shiva, right?
Right.
So that's why we call it formless, because if you see it, you say, at least this is the one I see. But then when we see, we don't see Shiva or say. Only
Right.
thing we do is imagine, but that's it, right?
Yeah, no, see what happens when you think of Shiva, you think of him as with, three eyes, with the Ganga ji coming out, snakes and all that, Bhasma and all that. But in Shivalinga, there is none of those qualities. It has no hands, no feet. Lord Shiva has hands, he has feet, he has legs. So all those things are there, but additional. Sometimes some of the gods have eight arms, four arms. Brahma ji has four faces. So those are all the sagun sakar, means with form and with qualities. But Shivaling is nirgun nirakar because it has no qualities and it has no extra thing like hands, feet, and all. So it's, of course, it is a form, but this form represents Lord Shiva and represents the formless aspect of Lord Shiva. So that's how you look at it as Lord Shiva himself. It is Bhagwan himself. So when you are worshipping the linga or offering milk, don't think it is a stone. It is Bhagwan Shiva himself in this form. So that's how you worship the linga. Thank you.